I want to bring some encouragement today. I'm going to talk about a green shoot from a felled root. I'm going to talk about coppicing today. Do you know what coppicing is? It's the intentional cutting down of a tree to ground level in order to speed up life and fruitfulness. You know what a coppice stool is? It has nothing to do with a policeman or going to the bathroom. A coppice stool is what's commonly known as a stump. When you see a stump in the ground, it's usually an unsightly thing. It's something that you have to plow around. It's something that you run into getting the trash at night, toe first. Do you have any coppice stools in your life? Do you have any stumps in your life? Did you know when we ask or look for fruitfulness, we're usually looking at tall, enormous trees with a massive limbs and leaves and fruit, and we see forests of such things, and we're overwhelmed at the fruitfulness of their relationship or their marriage or their house? Or have you ever just looked outside yourself and you see forests of trees? Well, loved one, let me tell you something today. When God gets ready to do a new thing, He lops trees off and leaves only the stump in the ground. Now, chances are you've got a lot of stumps in the landscape of your life. They're mostly unsightly. They get in the way. We run into them. But I want you to know something. God's idea of fruitfulness and our idea of fruitfulness are two completely different things. Even in the church world, you can look at a massive ministry and go, now that's fruitfulness. Hold on. When God does a new thing, He fells trees, knocks them down, where all the branches, all the leaves, all the fruit are stuck in the chipper. You say, Craig, that's my life. When you see a felled tree, think of the relationships in your life that have been felled, have been cut. Coppicing is the act of literally and intentionally cutting down trees to encourage the growth that happens. The tree is hewn away, and you say, that relationship, I never thought it would leave. I can't believe I lost a child. Your life is strewn with stumps, strewn with what you think are long, dry, and dead things. Is there anything that you see that equals a felled tree in your life where you feel all the fruitfulness is gone? I can't believe that divorce happened. I can't believe that setback in my life. Loved one, when God gets ready to do new things, He cuts down what appears to be the fruitfulness, only fruitfulness in the eyes of this world. Because if you don't cut trees and they become too large, they begin to lean on one another, they get top heavy, and they obscure all the sun that needs to go down to the saplings. And letting trees alone is not God's way. Any stumps in your life? Mm-hmm. The devil will point out every stump in your yard. And they, you know, we would just cut the tree down and, you know, well, all we got to do is pull out the stump, then we're on our way. God cuts a tree down, fells it completely on purpose, and He leaves the stump in the ground. 10 years, 20 years, 100 years. Job 14, 7 through 9. At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. Can someone say amen? You may feel like you're a tree felled. You say, Craig, I'm a coppice stool. I'm a stump. I've been cut back to the ground. You know, the life of the tree isn't in the branches, isn't in the leaves, isn't in the fruit. It's in the stump. And even when the tree is felled, don't think that dead little thing is gone. There are so many stumps we've dismissed and said, that's just that unsightly thing is going to be in my yard. I don't even know. And it gets all nasty and grody. But did you know the kind of growth God wants to do in our world right now is only going to come through the glorious new shoots that are produced only by leveling the trees. We've got too many forests. People so high and mighty and strong. Hmm? Just wait, baby. Just wait. Little Stumpy Morgan, you're going to have your day. When God is ready to move, he says, trust me. Trust me when I do what I'm going to do. Don't get upset. Is there any hope for a stump? You know, it's easier to see despair than hope. You look at a stump and you see despair. You look at the setbacks of your life, you see despair. You look at the losses of your life and you're grieving them now, and you see nothing but despair. So it's easier to see despair than hope. But God wants us to look at stumps a little bit differently after today. God is about to bring fresh, almost so slender, little shoots, so harmless looking, but newness of life, budding, budding, budding. And you know, they purposely, regularly cut the trees off because you can expedite and speed up the growth through this practice. You say, Craig, you're explaining my life. Listen, beloved, what other people throw away as useless, God picks up and he calls it his remnant. His remnant. The word remnant means the few, the rare, the few that will serve God no matter what. After hell and high water and setback and divorce and loss and losing a loved one, everything that would make you shout, why? Why? Look at the stump. God says, there's life ebbing subtly and slowly out of that stump. At least there is hope, Job says. If it's cut down, it'll sprout again. Look it. It says new shoots, tender shoots will grow because the life is in the stump. At the scent of water, there's something so seductive and beautiful about the dew of heaven that when God just begins to put a little dew of heaven in your life, you just... It's the imagery of a dead-looking stump, someone or something you've given up on. It's long, dry, and dead and gone. But God said, I have such a seductive way about the dew that I'll bring that just makes you go. Sometimes you feel the presence of God at church, and it's just, you know, it's the scent you need. It's your whole week can go sideways, but you go into God's house, and you just for a minute, you sit just like that old stump. Job says it comes alive just like that. Do you know other people may throw you away? You know, we call them leftovers. The food you don't want, you throw away. The bits of cloth you don't need, you throw away. Did you know one man's trash is another man's treasure? There's some people that just go to little stores to find remnant cloth that someone else threw away. They're just thrilled to go and harvest that. And the food that you don't eat, somebody is going to think you are a king for throwing that away. And that leftover relationship, that person, that place, that thing that the world throws out as a nasty old dirty stump, God says, that's not just a stump. That's my remnant stump. That's David. That's Joaquin. That's Steve. That's Craig. That's Tim. Those are my remnant. I'll tell you, it looks like slim pickings sometimes. We start with the forest. Do you know what? You ever seen the National Geographics of all those little baby turtles that go down and try to get into the water and the birds pick almost all of them off? There's like 1,000 turtles and 2 make it out. That's a remnant. All throughout the Bible, it's a book of remnants. There was only one man, Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord and favor during his generation. Everybody else said, God, have it, you know, go your way, Lord. Noah said, have your way. The Bible is a book of remnants. Every person, place, or thing the world throws out, God picks up and says, that's my baby. That's my stump. Oh, they look felled and cut now, but you just wait. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 13. Isaiah lived in a time that was hopeless for God's people. And through a tenth, and though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leaves stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be in the stump in the land. Isaiah lived in a time when he was watching the 8th century BC. He saw the Assyrians destroy the 10 tribes to the north, a great power in their day. And King Saul reigned 40 years, the first king of Israel. David reigned in his place 40 years. Then Solomon reigned in David's place 40 years. But did you know, after Solomon's kingdom, the 12 tribes were broken up. 10 went to the north and were called Israel. 2 stayed in the south and were known as Judah. And in 722 BC, Isaiah the prophet watched as the Assyrian monster of an empire utterly laid waste to the 10 tribes to the north. Israel was taken into captivity by Sargon II. And Isaiah is standing in his time. We're just a little while, and the Babylonian Empire will soon sweep down, destroy the temple, destroy the land, and remove the people from the land for 70 years. And in the midst of this smoldering stump of hopelessness, God says, even in a smoldering stump, I've got my remnant people. And you may think the life is in the branch or the leaves or the fruit. God said the seed is alive in the stump. And the Assyrians can destroy the northern tribes, and the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar can come and eventually take all of Judah down. But I want you to listen to something. In the midst of this hopelessness, God said, I have my remnant, those who are faithful to me. In Daniel chapter 4, God brought a judgment against a very arrogant man. He was a leader. Did you know leaders can get arrogant because they think that they're doing everything? A guy named Nebuchadnezzar, God bless him, he was the mightiest king of his day. But one day he was standing in his palace, looking out over everything, and he said, look what I have built with my two hands. And the scripture says, oops. Oops. It even happens in the ministry. I'm God's gift to the world. He cannot reach the nations apart from me. Felled tree in a second. You hear the tin man chopping. So what's that chopping sound? We have to have a worship tape where there's chopping sounds in the background. Nebuchadnezzar, at the height of his power, thinks he is Almighty God. And guess what the Lord does? Daniel 4, 14 and 15. He called in a loud voice, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Oh, my Lord. I don't ever want to hear this. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but let the stump and its roots bound with iron and bronze remain in the ground and the grass of the field. Let them be drenched with the dew of heaven and let them live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Did you know even when God cuts a tree down in judgment, he still leaves the stump in the ground and allows the dew to do its work. And Job says, as soon as the dew of heaven begins to come into your life, it's starting to happen. You know, God likes to bring new things from old things. He likes to use old stumps to produce the new growth. That fuzzy, new, subtle-looking growth of shoots that spring out, and they're just the size of a hair. But if you give it time, the new work God is doing is coursing its way through all of the stumps of your life, all the losses of your life, loved ones. Every setback you've ever had is going to produce fruit that is invaluable. And all the trees in Lebanon that have been growing 100 years cannot touch the newness of life that comes from a stump in the ground. You say, Craig, I don't like that word of judgment. You know what? Let me say something. Just because you're cut down doesn't mean you're being judged for something you did or are doing. When God wants new life, he clears the way for it. You're always thinking, what nasty thing did I do at 14 that brought all these clouds over my life? I know what you did at 14. You know what? It's so not that. I told my son Grant, I said, honey, if you break the window of that Lexus, I get the judgment, $760. You get a timeout. You don't get justice as a child of God. You get correction. If you got justice, that would be death and hell. for eternity. We don't. Jesus took the justice on the cross. We get disciplined, and there's something beautiful about correction. But just because the tree was felled doesn't mean that you did something naughty that no one's ever done. Unless you do something today in space with lasers, I've heard about it this week. You'll never know the wicked thing I did. Unless you did it in space with lasers this week, I heard a version of it. There's nothing new under the sun. By the way, the thing about kids, they think they discover everything. My gosh, look at that, I just discovered them. Mm-hmm. I told my son, Grant, I've been your age. You've never been mine. There is nothing that has occurred to my boy that has not occurred to me. I'll stop it right there. Hold off now, back down, like those Ben-Hur chariots back to the starting. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. They've been your age. You've been their age. That's the thing about wisdom that we have. As young as you are, you're never going to catch up on my life experience. So sit at my feet while you can. Honor your mommy and daddy. They've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Nothing new under the sun. If I had a quarter for every time someone this week said, you'll never believe what I'm about to tell you, I said, oh, yes, I will. Because I'm already thinking worse than you're going to tell me. All right, let me go back to the stump. Get you people out of the smoldering stump to some new life here. We value big trees and forests and majestic things, but God brings the weak and the tender and the vulnerable strands of life from felled stumps. Listen to one of the most important. We're close enough to Christmas for a little Christmassy message right here. Isaiah the prophet is looking at the smoldering stump of his nation, but God says to him, you may be in the middle of stumpdom right now. You may have just heard bad news from the doctor. You may just have had another setback, something, or this week you may get a phone call or an email or have a conversation that seems to plunge your life into the place of being a felled tree left with only a dead, dry stump. But let me tell you what the prophecy of the Messiah was in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. A shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Loved one, this is the Messiah, but he's called a shoot who comes from the stump of Jesse. Do you know what? The stump. Jesse was David, King David's father. He was a nobody. He was a trailer park guy before Samuel came to Bethlehem and said, do you have any sons? I'm here to anoint a king. And he puts all seven of his nice-looking boys, and Samuel goes, nice-looking, but did you have anybody else? He goes, well, David, I mean, the eighth son. Did you know God will take the eighth kid that nobody looks at and put an anointing on him or her? And all the pretty boys, Abercrombie coming up. I was in the market with R. Just don't talk. I told you the story 1,000 times. I was in Vaughn's with little Arwee the other day, and there's a picture of White House down, you know, Channing Tatum. And I went right up to the poster and I said, honey, is this amazing? We're separated at birth. And she looked at me, you know, and shook her head in such despair. I said, no, you don't look like. I go, no, it's. She just went, oh my God, no, you don't look anything. Jesse's seven sons were Channing Tatum with an anointing. And yet God said, that's what the world values, a tall tree, strong, lots of limbs, leaves, and fruit, but no. And the eighth son was little David out with the sheep, little, about 13 years old. And David comes in. And David's destiny changed the face of Jesse's house, and David became the greatest king in the history of Israel. But listen, over hundreds of years of David and the kings that came from Israel, about 20 in Israel and 20 in Judah, They'd sinned against the Lord. The Assyrians took the 10 tribes out. The Babylonians took the two out. And all of King David's Davidic house was destroyed. His royal house, there wasn't a king alive. And God said, in the most barren time of Isaiah, 800 years before Christ, he said, let me tell you something. Jesse is a stump, David's father. I'm not even going to mention David. His house had gone so low that they had to appeal to his trailer park dad. It'll get so bad sometimes. The tree is felled and the stump seems that it's utterly wasted away. And that stump will lay in the ground for 800 years. But God says of the Messiah, I am going to take the house and the stump of Jesse and I'm going to bring one little shoot out. It's not a something I'm doing. It's a someone. And his name is Jesus. And he will be the branch that will grow to be the banner over all of the people of God. And I'm telling you in Jesus' name, from the stumps of your life, from the ruins, from the devastation and the smoldering stumps of all the things that you're crying about, God is going to bring something beautiful. Because it's how he brings a new thing. Next time you're comparing yourself with the tall, handsome tree or the tall, pretty tree or everything, the world goes, And there's nothing wrong with money. Money doesn't stink. I was in Malibu the other day and I said, we were pushing Michael around, I said, money doesn't stink. But I couldn't go in that shop. Nothing fit. I said, I'm coming back to this shop. I've invoked Dennis's name. I said, in 8 months, I'm coming back to this. What is it, John Varvatos or whatever that store was? Everything made for a fetus. You can go to Abercrombie, $60 for this? Oh, don't wash it. It'll just, you know, it becomes a little something you snort up your nostril if you wash. Ladies, I'm sorry, but we used to call hand them downs. Now they're hand me ups. You know what I'm saying? Don't wear those to the worship church. We're trying to keep our eyes on Jesus. And by the way, while we're at it, how come God is raising up all these beautiful worship girls all over the landscape? It's hard enough to worship, let alone to see these beautiful ladies. I've just got a dialogue with the Lord about that. You can read your Bible, see what you come up with about that. A new shoot from an old stump. God is going to bring what's new out of what's old in your life, something that you have thrown aside. It could be a gift, a talent, an ability. Some people can draw beautifully. I can't. Telling China, I said, I'd make stick figures. But they're nasty. They look like a three-year-old. I just don't have that gift. Some people can draw. They can paint. They can dance. Sometimes in life we give up on a tall tree of talent and anointing and ability. And it's just felled and cut down. It's a stump. You go back to your little stumps. Get your magnifying glass out. There are little shoots, subtle evidences of new life. He's going to bring you something. Do you know stumps are visible signs of the invisible grace of God? It's easy to see despair. I want you to see hope when you run into a stump this week, when you're out walking, when you're with friends. Look for stumps. In 1971, we moved to Des Moines, Iowa, and we had a ghastly stump in our yard. Our mother's idea was to paint it a translucent green. I still have a picture of it. It was ugly as it was. And Mama had us take paintbrushes. My brother and I knew it was wrong. I talked to him this week. I said, that was the nastiest looking, the beautiful neighborhood and the translucent green stump. It was just horrible. And my mom nailed a birdhouse to it. It just got worse. The more you mess with a stump, it just, well, you kids could go out and put a tent around it and sleep overnight. No, Mom, we don't have anything to do with the stump. You don't know what to do with it. We didn't have enough money to pull it out. We did have a guy come over one time with pants too low that went, we can probably pull that sucker out for about. And I just said, Mom, his voice alone.
Oh, it'll be a bit of a job, but.
We left it. It's still there. Unsightly stump. And we see one another's stumps too. You go, what's God going to do with that? Well, wait and see. Now, I know there's a sense of security in doing things the world's way, but it's a sense of total abandon and surrender when you let God cut everything down intentionally and consistently. And you know, when they let it grow for a few years, and then they go back when it's an adolescent, and they go, and they cut it down again. It's like, hello, can we just get a break here and get full grown? No, full grown trees are a mess, and they destroy everything around them. Don't despise the day of small things, loved one. Don't despise what God can do. He will bring something new. I'm talking to some people, and he's bringing new out of something old today. He's bringing new from the old. Now, some of you have stumps in your life, and you're praying, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that you restore this tree to its splendor, God. In your name. He'll never grow that tree all the way back up. It's not going to be the redwood. Sorry. That's not a negative thing. He's looking for real growth, and the only way to get it is to cut all of that away. Now, there's a beauty of majesty, but you know what? I don't want to be any of those trees that are coming down any other way than God's way. Cut me down, Lord, if you want to. It's not masochism. It's just I've lived long enough that I've been looking at too many different trees that everybody else says, oh, look at that lovely tree. Abraham Lincoln used to talk about a tree that just stood up through custom. It had been dead for years. Just was its custom to stand. Don't be confused by what you think you see with regard to fruitfulness in other people's lives. There's an old story about everybody goes to the afterlife and they all lay down the pack of burdens and they all have an opportunity to pick up someone else's pack. And everybody always picks up their own pack and walks out. I got this. God bless you. You compare yourself to others, little stump, but God's going to bring new life through you in a way you've never dreamed. A copa stool, you can win friends and influence your enemies with that. It means a stump. God brought the Messiah from the smoldering stump of the house of Jesse that was nothing. God loves to bring something from nothing. That's his forte. And in your life, keep your eyes open. When you see a stump, don't think of despair. I know it's easy to see the stumps. See hope. See a slender shoot of life. You know, the devil says, look at all the forests of Lebanon. Look at all those other trees. They've just got it made. You don't even belong in the forest. God says, we got to get that telescope flipped around and look up close to see what's coming out of that stump. We try to avoid pain. We medicate pain. God says, look at it. Look at it as close as you can get. There's something new coming out of that old thing. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all the stumps that have lined our way. Lord God, if only the landscape that my loved ones are looking at is a landscape of what appears to be barrenness and hopelessness, we pray from every apparently dead and dry stump that we will see the invisible grace of God in the presence of these setbacks and these trials, oh God. Come, Holy Spirit, come into this place right now, Lord. Heal every broken heart. Bring fresh anointing to your children, Lord. We embrace this remnant people under the sound of my voice. People that have been leftovers and thrown away by others. Jesus, you collect every one of these precious, precious ones, and you say, you're my remnant. You're my remnant. You're mine. You belong to me. Others have thrown you out. I take you in. You're mine. Other forests seem to grow to the heights of heaven, but from the low place, I'm going to exalt the fruit from your stump higher than all of the others. Let him do his work, O God. Do your work, O God. Do your work, O God. Fell the trees perfectly. You cut perfectly, O God. And bring hope and new life. Healing and deliverance right now in Jesus' name. Peace that passes understanding right now in Jesus' name. In the midst of the landscape of the remnant of your stumps, God, we just speak grace, grace, blessing and anointing upon the landscape, because we know there's life in that stump. We know there's life.